You know that feeling, right? You've got a fruit tree, maybe one you've nurtured for years, and suddenly it just stops producing as much. Even looks healthy sometimes. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, it's a real headache for growers, home gardeners, everyone, and it even impacts what we see or don't see at the market.
Exactly. So today we're diving into one specific example, a disease called loquat canker. And we're looking at how understanding the genetics, the plant's own defenses, might help us fight back.
Right. So whether you've got a few fruit trees you're trying to protect, or maybe you're just interested in the science behind plant health, you know, how we breed tougher crops, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Our guide today is some really cool research, fresh out of the journal Tree Genetics and Genomes. And this paper, it really zooms in on how some loquat trees can naturally fight off this nasty bacterial disease, loquat canker.
Yeah, so our mission here is really to unpack what these scientists found. We want to show you how they're finding these like genetic secrets that make some loquats resistant and what that might mean down the road for growing loquats.
Okay, sounds good. So before we get into the new stuff, let's make sure we're all on the same page. What exactly is loquat canker? Why is it such a problem?
Okay, so loquat canker is caused by a bacterium. Its full name is Pseudomonas syringa PV aerobortri. Bit of a mouthful.
Definitely.
But it's a major issue where loquats are grown commercially. And the really nasty part is it doesn't just hit one part of the tree. It can attack the buds, the leaves, the fruit, which is the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Even the trunk and roots.
Well, so it's systemic almost.
Pretty much. And all that damage weakens the tree, and you inevitably get way less fruit, a much smaller yield.
And I gather it's not just one single version of this bacteria causing all the trouble.
That's right. So in Japan, for instance, they've identified three main groups. They just call them A, B, and C. They differ slightly in like how they look when grown in the lab and the specific kind of damage they cause on the leaves.
Okay.
And here's the kicker. Some of the really popular Japanese loquat varieties, names you might recognize if you follow loquats like Mogi, Tanaka, Nagasaki Wase, they're all susceptible.
Ah, so the main ones people grow are vulnerable. That really highlights the need for resistant types.
Exactly. It makes finding or breeding resistant varieties super important.
So people have been looking for resistance for a while then. What do we already know before this study came along?
Yeah, we weren't starting from scratch. We knew about a couple of key resistance genes. Think of them as like specific defense tools the loquat has.
Okay.
There's one called CA. It gives pretty solid protection against that group A bacteria. And scientists figured out it's located on what they call linkage group 10 or LG10 of the loquat's genetic map.
LG10, got it.
And interestingly, if a loquat has this, say, A for group A resistance, it often seems to resist group B too. They might be linked somehow genetically.
Okay. Well,
Then there's another one called PAC. Now, this one's recessive. That means the tree needs two copies of this version to actually get the resistance.
right, like needing two keys instead of one.
Exactly. This gene, PAC, protects against group C, and it was found in a Japanese variety called Shiromogi. It lives on a different part of the map, linkage group 3, LG3.
So these are like single powerful defense genes.
Yeah, we call that qualitative resistance, often controlled by just one or maybe a few major genes. It gives strong, almost like an on-off switch kind of protection, a really good lock on the door, basically.
I sense there's more to the story. This study suggests it's maybe not always that simple.
Precisely. Those single genes are great, super valuable, but the paper points out that resistance isn't always black and white. There's also something called quantitative resistance.
Quantitative means.
Meaning it's not just one strong lock, it's more like having multiple layers of security, maybe a slightly weaker lock, plus a security chain, plus an alarm system, you know?
Ah, okay. So combined effect.
Exactly. This type is controlled by lots of different genes, and each one adds just a little bit to the overall defense. And the thinking is this multi-layered approach might actually be more durable, more robust over time.
What is that?
Well, it's much harder for the pathogen, the bacteria in this case, to evolve ways to overcome like five or six different defense mechanisms all at once compared to just figuring out how to pick one really good lock.
Makes sense. More hurdles for the disease to jump over.
Exactly.
And this is where a specific loquat variety called Champagne comes into play.
Yes, Champagne is really central to the study. It's an American variety, actually bred in California way back, maybe 1908 or so. It
Yeah.
was introduced to Japan later in the 50s.
Interesting. Do we know its parents?
That's the thing, its parentage is unknown, a bit of a mystery, but what we do know is really important for this story. Champagne has that Seri A gene, so it's resistant to group A, and it has two copies of that recessive PC gene, so it's resistant to group C as well.
Wow. Okay, so it's got both of those major resistance types we were talking about. Double protection.
Double protection, exactly. But here's where it gets really fascinating, and it's what triggered this research. When breeders crossed Champagne, remember, it has two copies of the PC resistance gene with other varieties that don't have that resistance that are susceptible to group C.
Yeah. What happened with the offspring?
Well, the offspring, the seedlings, still showed resistance to group C. But, and this is the crucial part, it wasn't that simple on-off resistance you'd expect from that single PC gene acting alone.
How did it look then?
It behaved like a quantitative trait, meaning there was a range, a spectrum of resistance levels among the different seedlings. Some were highly resistant, some moderately, some less so.
Okay. Not just resistant or susceptible, but shades of gray.
Exactly. And that strongly suggested that Champagne must have other genes besides PSE that are also contributing to fighting off group C. And these other genes seem to be acting in a dominant way.
So it's like Champagne had this known recessive gene, but also some hidden dominant resistance factors.
You got it. Like finding a hidden compartment inside a safe that you already knew how to open one way, more layers of security.
Okay, so this study basically set out to find those hidden layers, those extra genes in Champagne. How did they actually do it?
Well, the first step was the cross. They took Tanaka, which is one of those susceptible Japanese cultivars we mentioned,
right,
and crossed it with the resistant Champagne. This created a population of seedlings, 123 of them in this case, the first generation, or F1.
Okay, 123 siblings, essentially.
Yep. Then came the test. They deliberately infected these seedlings with group C of the loquat canker bacteria. They did this over two different years, 2021 and 2022, to make sure the results were consistent.
So they challenged each seedling to see how well it could fight off the disease.
Exactly, a controlled challenge.
And how did they score the fight? How did they measure resistance?
They used a standard method, a 5-point disease index. It goes from 0 to 4.
Okay.
A score of 0 meant really strong resistance, maybe just a tiny scar where they infected it. A score of 4 meant it was highly susceptible. The bacteria caused long, nasty cankers or lesions.
Mm-hmm.
And scores 1, 2, 3 were somewhere in between based on how bad the lesion looked and how long it was.
Got it. So they have resistance scores for all 123 seedlings. How did they link that back to the genes, specifically from Champagne?
That's where the genetic mapping comes in. They used a technique called RAID-seq restriction site associated DNA sequencing.
Okay, seq.
Think of it as a way to quickly sample bits of DNA from all across the genome. It lets you find lots of tiny genetic differences between individuals. Specifically, they looked for SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms.
SNPs, those are like single letter changes in the DNA code.
Exactly, like unique little signposts scattered everywhere. They found and mapped 876 of these SNP markers onto the 17 linkage groups, basically the chromosomes of the loquat genome.
So they built a detailed genetic map specifically for Champagne.
Yes, a high-density map for Champagne. They noted it was actually denser and probably more accurate than a previous map they'd made for a different loquat, likely because the DNA sequencing technology itself had improved, giving them longer reads of the DNA.
Okay, so now they have the resistance data for each seedling, and they have this detailed genetic map of the resistant parent, Champagne.
Yeah.
What did they find when they put those together? Did they locate these hypothetical extra resistance genes?
Yes. That was the major breakthrough. They identified a significant quantitative trait locus, a QTL.
QTL, that's like a region on the chromosome associated with a particular trait, right?
Exactly. A genetic neighborhood strongly linked to resistance. And they found this major QTL for resistance to group C located in the upper part of linkage group 14, LG14, in Champagne.
LG14. Okay, a new location. Did they pinpoint it further?
They did. They found specific SNP markers that were most strongly associated with the resistance. One called SNP-EJP207554 was key in the combined data from both years. Its location is roughly between 17.5 and 21.6 centimorgans on LG14.
Centimorgans. That's a measure of genetic distance, not physical distance.
Right. It tells you how likely genes are to be inherited together. But the key thing is it narrows down the search area considerably on that chromosome.
That seems like a really specific address on the genetic map. How much of the resistance variation could they attribute to this one region on LG14?
Good question. They calculated that the single major QTL on LG14 explained about 12.6% of the difference in resistance levels they saw among the seedlings, averaged over the 2 years.
Okay, 12.6%. That's significant, but it's not the whole story, presumably.
No, exactly. Quantitative traits usually involve multiple regions. They also found evidence for some other minor potential QTLs. The most interesting minor one was actually back on linkage group 3.
LG3, but isn't that where the known pre-seed gene is?
It is, but, and this is quite interesting, this minor QTL they found on LG3 was in a different spot on that linkage group. The known KIS-A-C gene is around position 46.1 COM, but this new QTL peak was further up, between 28.3 and 37.0 CNRM.
Huh. So it could be a completely separate resistance factor, even on the same chromosome.
It could be. It explains about 8.2% of the variation, so less than the LG14 one, but still potentially important. And notably, they didn't find any stable QTLs associated with resistance coming from the susceptible Tanaka parent.
So the extra resistance, both the big chunk on LG14 and the smaller bit on LG3, seems to be coming from champagne.
That's what the data strongly suggests, yes.
So finding these QTLs, especially the big one on LG14, why is that such a big deal? What does it actually mean for people trying to grow loquats?
Well, it's potentially huge for breeding new varieties. Remember, we talked about quantitative resistance possibly being more durable.
Right. Harder for the disease to overcome multiple defenses.
Exactly. So finding the genetic regions responsible for that kind of resistance is key. And those SNP markers, the genetic signposts located right next to or inside these QTLs, they can be used like tags.
Tags for what?
For selection. Breeders can now test tiny seedlings just using a DNA sample to see if they inherited the favorable marker from champagne that's linked to the LG14 QTL.
Ah, so they don't have to wait years for the tree to grow up and then infect it to see if it's resistant.
Precisely. It's called marker-assisted selection, or MAS. It drastically speeds up the breeding process. For fruit trees, which have long juvenile periods, they take years to even flower and fruit. This is incredibly valuable. It lets you pick the winners much, much earlier.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like a genetic shortcut.
A very useful shortcut, yeah.
The study also mentioned something about consistency between the 2 years and heritability. How solid are these findings?
Yes, that's really important for confidence in the results. They found that the resistance levels of the seedlings were pretty consistent between 2021 and 2022. The correlation was high, 0.758.
Okay, so a seedling that was resistant 1 year was likely resistant the next.
Generally, yes. And they also calculated something called broad sense heritability, which was very high, 0.87.
And high heritability means?
It means that most of the variation in resistance they saw was due to genetic differences between the seedlings rather than just random environmental effects. It tells us this resistance has a strong genetic basis and is likely to be passed down effectively. So the QTLs they found are likely real and meaningful.
That definitely adds weight to it. And are they just looking within loquats, or are there clues from other related plants?
Well, they're definitely looking broader, too. They highlighted the syntony between loquat and apple genomes.
Syntony. That means the genes are arranged in a similar order on the chromosomes.
Yeah, conserved gene order. And what's fascinating is that the corresponding region on linkage group 14 in apples is known to contain a gene for resistance to powdery mildew, plus several other types of resistance genes.
Wow. So the same chromosomal neighborhood in apple also handles disease resistance.
Seems like it. It suggests that maybe similar defense mechanisms, perhaps even related genes, are being used in both loquat and apple against different diseases. It's like finding similar tools in the toolkits of related species.
That's really cool. And I guess having a fully sequenced loquat genome helps them dig deeper into that LG14 region now.
Absolutely. They mentioned that a loquat genome sequence is available from a variety called Seventh Star. Using that blueprint, they were able to look specifically at that QTL region on LG14, where they found the major resistance effect.
And what do they see there?
They estimated there are about 6,000 genes in that area, but based on known functions of genes, they predict that maybe around 30 of those could potentially be involved in disease resistance.
Okay, so from 6,000 down to 30 candidates, that really narrows the search for the actual gene or genes doing the work.
Exactly. It gives researchers a much more manageable list to investigate further. It's a great starting point for figuring out the precise molecular mechanism.
So what are the next steps then? Where does the research go from here based on these findings?
Well, the paper suggests a few things. One approach is called QTL-seq. It's another sequencing method where you compare the pooled DNA of the most resistant seedlings versus the most susceptible ones from their experiment. This can help really fine-tune the location of the key genes within that LG14 region.
Okay, more precise mapping.
Right. They also want to understand more about the interaction between the plant and the pathogen. That means looking at the effector proteins the bacteria produce, the tools the bacteria use to try and cause diseases, and how the different resistance genes in the loquat might recognize or block those effectors.
Understanding the battle at the molecular level.
Exactly. And the ultimate goal, of course, is practical. It's to use these newly identified QTLs, especially the one on LG14, in breeding programs.
To create better loquats.
To create new loquat cultivars that have enhanced and, really importantly, more durable resistance to loquat canker. This wouldn't necessarily replace the single genes like SIA and TSC, but complement them, add more layers.
So you could stack the single gene resistance with this quantitative resistance.
That's the ideal scenario, yes. They mentioned a variety called Haru Tayori that was successfully bred using the known single genes, which is great. But they stress that adding this quantitative resistance on top would provide better long-term protection, especially as the pathogen itself might evolve ways to overcome the single genes.
Right, staying one step ahead of the disease.
That's the constant challenge in plant breeding.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive on loquat canker resistance, what's the main thing you think we should take away from this study?
I think the key takeaway is really the discovery of this new major QTL for resistance to group C canker on linkage group 14 in the Champagne loquat. It's a really promising finding.
Yeah, and it opens up a whole new avenue for breeding, doesn't it? For getting loquat trees that are just tougher against this disease, hopefully leading to more stable harvests.
Absolutely. More resilient trees, more reliable fruit production.
And looking bigger picture, this kind of work on loquats, it really connects to the whole challenge of protecting our food supply, right?
It really does. It's a great example of the ongoing arms race between our crops and the diseases that threaten them. Understanding the genetic basis of resistance, whether it's these big single genes or the more complex quantitative stuff, is just fundamental.
It's crucial if we want to develop crops that can actually withstand these pressures,
yeah.
Especially with, you know, climate change and everything else impacting agriculture.
Exactly. It's vital for agricultural sustainability and food security, no doubt about it.
It really gives you an appreciation for the complex defenses plants have working away under the surface. If you found this interesting, maybe you'd want to look more into plant genomics or even just loquat growing if it happens near you.
Right.
Or perhaps the Pseudomonas bacteria themselves. They cause a lot of different plant diseases.
Yeah, there's a lot more to explore. And it leaves us with a final thought to chew on. As these plant pathogens inevitably continue to evolve and adapt, just how critical will it be for us to really understand and effectively use this kind of multi-gene quantitative resistance to protect the future of not just loquats, but all our favorite fruits and essential crops?